Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you've been here in spirit and power, Lord. I thank you that we've been able to break bread together as a family. Lord, I thank you that we've been able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, now as we look at your word, that you will guide us, lead us. Lord, that we would leave this place changed. Holy Spirit, may it not be my words, but your words that we all hear this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord gave me a title for this a couple of weeks ago, Single-Minded in Purpose. Now, when I normally preach, the Lord doesn't give me a title till the end, and I thought, Single-Minded in Purpose, what does he really want me to talk about? So I Googled single-minded to see what it meant, and I Googled purpose, because it's no good looking in a dictionary, because you'll all say, she's old-fashioned, I better Google it. So single-minded, determined, committed, unswerving, unwavering, resolute, tireless, persistent. Does that describe you and me? Yes, somebody says yes. Well done. Some of us have got a bit to go. What about purpose? What does that mean according to the Google? Motivated, determined, committed, convicted, dedicated, resolute. Once again, does that describe us? And I don't know if you've noticed that some of those overlap. Determined is in both, committed is in both, resolute is in both. And I said to the Lord, what are we supposed to be single-minded about that you really want me to go in that direction this morning? And he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and his kingdom purposes. Simple, isn't it? So why aren't we doing it? Well, I think sometimes that we're a little bit double-minded. What, me, you're saying? Me double-minded? Yes, possibly, and me. Sometimes I look this up on Google, double-minded, undecided. Who's undecided? Yeah? Nobody dare put a hand up. Who's wavering sometimes? Who vacillates a little bit, can't make a decision? Yes? Well, the Lord wants us this morning to really get it to grips with this. I've got James 1 opened here, 5, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But, remember that old but means beware, there's an underlying truth coming. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Well, I don't want that described about me. You don't want that described about you. So today we've really got to get into being single-minded in purpose. So turn with me, if you will, to our main scripture, which is Psalm 145. There are so many scriptures in the Bible I could have used with this. And I felt, Lord, what do you want me to use? And I really believe time is short, folks. Jesus is coming again. We don't know when, but I've got news for you. This is your last generation. This is my last generation. We need to do something about being single-minded in purpose. So Psalm 145, I believe, will just sharpen us up a little bit. And it says, I will. Just take notice of that word, will. I will. I have a choice. I will. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. And just in case you haven't got it, in verse 2, it's amplified saying, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Now, I won't embarrass anybody, but are we doing it? Because that says, I will do it. Praise is a bit noisy, you probably noticed this morning. Are we using our mouths? Are we using our voices? Are we praising the Lord and extolling him every day? Every day. Verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Yeah, we get that. What about this one? One generation commends your works to another and they tell of your mighty acts. Whoops, do you do it? Are you telling the younger generation? Are you telling the older generation? Are you gossiping the gospel? Are you talking about Jesus? Are you saying what God's done in your life? Are you saying what God's done in the life of somebody in this church? Are you saying some of the testimonies you hear on Sunday in the workplace? Are you just gossiping? Now look, the football we've just heard about, the World Cup, won't you be talking about that, people? Won't you be talking about the latest restaurant you've gone to and the lovely food you've had? Won't you be talking about the concert this afternoon and the music? Why can't we gossip about our faith? not try and shove the Bible down people's throat, but just talk about it. Verse 5, they speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Are we? I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will. It's a choice again. I will do it. Meditate just means think on, chew it over. If you worry, you can meditate. It's doing it God's way. Verse 6, they tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will, once again that choice, proclaim your great deeds. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? We're supposed to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, as you look outside and you see the flowers and you see the trees and you see the sea moving, you see the birds and the butterflies, you realize everything God creates is living. Everything man creates is dead. A building. Life is in the building, but when the people leave the building, there's no life. Amen? Verse 7, they celebrate your abundant goodness. We do. And joyfully sing of your righteousness. We do. But are we doing it every day, as we were encouraged to in verse 2? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. Praise God, he is. The Lord is good to all. Now, I want you to pick up this word all, because it goes down a lot. He's good to all. He hasn't got favorites. He has compassion on all he has made, but there will be a day of reckoning. We need to make the right choices now. Verse 10. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Remember, that's with your voice. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I've got news for you. We're walking in the kingdom now, but we want more of the kingdom. We want to be working from the presence of God, not dipping in and out. Amen? Ooh, that went down well. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all people may know of your mighty acts. How are they going to know, these all people, unless you tell them? How are they going to know unless they see your lifestyle and my lifestyle? We are a little bit different. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be Jesus' hands and feet to people. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, faithful in all he does. I'm going to stop there for a second, because the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, not in just some things, every single promise. And years ago, just after Alpha, when we first started the church, we used to run the J. John 10. And the new Christians used to say to Terry and I, give us the promises. Give us God's promises. We want God's promises. And we'd give them half a dozen and say, now you look for more. How many are there, they'd say? We say over 7,000. Have you found them all? No, I haven't. Have you? Isn't it time we dipped in the Bible to find all of God's promises? They're for you and for you and for you. They're for all of us. It says they're for all people. He's faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, lifts up all who are bowed down, not some, all. If we look to him, he's there for us, he'll help us. He'll pick us up by the scruff of the neck sometimes. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Every living thing needs to acknowledge Jesus. Amen. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, faithful in all he does. It's repeated in case we haven't yet got it. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry. He saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. All the wicked he will destroy. There is coming a time. There is coming a day of judgment. We need to be ready. We need to be saving those from that destruction. We need to be speaking to them about the love of Christ. They have a choice. My mouth, that's your mouth, not just mine, your mouth. My mouth will speak words, sound in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Well, I think the Lord has made his point. He wants you and I to live in the supernatural and not in the superficial. He wants you and I to live and operate daily, get the word daily, from the presence of God. Well, I've got news for you. If we've got to be like that daily, we've got to be in the presence of God all the time. We heard just now, we don't want to take our spiritual armor off. We need to be the children of God he wants us to be. Amen. Let's be encouraged. Let's decide today we're not going to let our faith get stagnant. Let's decide today. You and I are going to have determined faith. So how do we do it? I've got 4 points and I'm going to go through them very quickly. Firstly, our choices. You heard me say at the beginning of Psalm 145, I will. It's a choice. Are you going to make that choice? Are you going to say, I will. I will make a choice to have my daily life transformed. 2 Corinthians 10, 5-6 tells us to take every thought captive. So then, when we're sort of drifting along and we're thinking, oh, it's lovely, we can do this, we can do that, take thoughts captive and say, am I actually operating in my daily life from the presence of God, not just dipping in and out? We want to be daily doing that. It's vital our choices are correct. You see, I wrote this down so I get this correct. Our thoughts stir up our emotions. Would you agree? Yep. Then our emotions influence our choices. Yes? Our choices become our action. Guess what, folks? They can work for good or bad, depending what our choices were. Well, I want to make good choices. I've made some duff ones in the past. Anybody else? Come on, every hand should be there. We've all made duff choices. It's time to say, I'm not going to go down those routes again. I'm going to make daily good choices. You and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit to the degree you choose to be filled. Ooh, you can. I can. It's abandoning self a little bit. We don't like it, do we? Let's be hungry, you and I, for the Holy Spirit to invade us, invade our lives more and more. You up for it? Come on. Yeah, we should be. All of us should be up for it. Secondly, so we've got choices first, but what about feelings? And when I say about feelings, people very often say to me, yeah, but God gave them to me. But he expects you to have them under the control and the lordship of the Holy Spirit. If our choices are right, our feelings will be right. Galatians 2:20 tells us, we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live through faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me. I say it glibly, but there's an important truth there. Am I crucified with Christ? Sometimes I don't think so. Anybody else? Out it sometimes? Come on, be honest. This is a time today when the Lord wants you and I to take that step of making the right choices, getting our emotions under control. And that is, you heard this morning, we were talking about spirit, soul and body, really. God made us a triune being. Please don't say body, soul and spirit. Then you put the spirit last, you put the body up first. The spirit, soul and body. We are a triune being, and so often our body and our soul is our mind, our will and our emotions, want to come up above the lordship of God. And then our body says, oh, yeah, well, let's do it. God wants us to be spirit people with our soul and our body under the control and lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So easy, but it's so hard to do every day. We all need to try. We need to, once again, learn to operate from the presence of God, not just dipping in and out when we feel like it. So thirdly, that's 2 points. We're whizzing through. Thirdly, what about our worries and our fears? They can paralyze you and I from being single-minded in purpose. Have you noticed if a rabbit is in the headlights of a car, it's paralyzed? You and I can get paralyzed with worries and fears. We know it's wrong. Sometimes we do it, yes. Yeah. Don't do it. Let's just see what worry is. I wrote this down. It's trust in the unpleasant. I don't want to trust in that. A certainty that a disaster or a problem is coming. I don't want that either. Worry causes a polluted stream to go through our brains. I don't want that. I like this. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it happens. Don't want that either. This is truth. Worry is a waste of time. Come on, we should all agree there. It's a waste of time. And it also means we're not trusting our Heavenly Father. God says, trust me, I will never leave you or forsake me. Will we do it? God is trying to encourage every single one of us today to do this, to trust him more and more and more and be single-minded in purpose. Let's believe him. And the fear bit is only false evidence appearing real, and then we worry about it. So don't do it. Start enjoying what you have. Start enjoying what you do have. Start enjoying what you do. Start enjoying who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Start enjoying who you are in Christ. Stop comparing yourself with other people. You are a new creation in Christ if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is your day, you're in the right place. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, he wants you today to be baptized and filled with his Holy Spirit, because you need his empowering presence to be the person he wants you to be and to do the things he wants you to do. We can't do any of this on our own. It's impossible. We'll fall flat on our faces. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Let's believe it. That's the third point. My word, we're whizzing through. Fourth point, a big one. It's the biggie that I really enlarged upon in Psalm 145, our speech, our voice, our words. How many people have said things in the past, you can't take them back? They're done. They're said. They're gone into eternity, into space. Let's make sure what we speak is godly. Let's not speak foolish, rubbish talk. You all know what I mean by that. Don't do it. Let's start to speak well of people. Let's start to speak graciously about people. Let's put the power of God's work to work for us. By that, we've got to use his word daily. Just flip to Proverbs 4. I think we've got time for that. Proverbs 4. Underlined in my Bible. 4 verse 20. "My son or daughter, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life, life to those who find them, health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." This is the bit. "Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths before your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." So, let's do it. Let's do it. And let's think of the way we're speaking. Speak out what you desire, not what you dread. That's good, isn't it? Speak out what you're longing for, what you're desiring for, not what you dread. Speak out your expectations as a child of God. Speak out the promises of God. They're for you. They're God's last will and testament for you and for me. We've got to expect it to work. It's no good just doing it and then getting disappointed. We must expect things to work. They're for each one of us. I was going to dip into Numbers, but I'll just say about Numbers 13. Look it up when you get home. 30 to verse 33, Joshua and Caleb, do you remember there were the spies Moses sent out together with some others into the promised land, and they came back and Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it. Look at the big bunches of grapes we brought back," having to be carried on a rod. They were so big. And the others said, "Oh, the people there are like giants. We can't do it. They'll kill us." Well, Joshua and Caleb could have said, "They're so big, we can't miss if we kill them." But they didn't. They said, "We can do it." And the others didn't. Joshua and Caleb spoke what the Lord told them. The others spoke what they saw with their physical eyes. And again in Numbers 14, look it up when you get home, verses 3 to 4. The people, it's always the people's problem, isn't it? It's not our problem, it's the people. They had a problem with God's word because they put their human understanding on it. They saw with their human eyes, they heard with their human ears, and they moaned and groaned and wanted to go back to Egypt. And there were consequences for it. Read about it in Numbers. The 11-day journey ended up taking 40 years, and the whole generation that had refused to go into the promised land died out, anybody over the age of 20. Ooh. Thank God we're New Testament. Thank God we're New Covenant believers in Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we remembered this morning breaking of bread, thank God what he's done for you and for me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and live according to his words. Amen? Amen. So, four points. Who remembers what they are? Choices, feelings, worries and fears, speech. So, our natural minds want to do things our way, but we want to do things God's way. I want to just read something that will probably help us. I think I've just got a few seconds I could do that. If you do this, Terry quoted this last week, UCB Bible readings, been very, very good recently. And on the 19th of June, which is a couple of weeks ago now, I underlined something about God's word, which I think will help us just cement this word this morning. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, but we also need the Word of God. And we need them to operate on a tram line together. With just one, it doesn't work. Holy Spirit on his own and no word doesn't work. The word on its own, without acknowledging the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit and God's word like tram. This is what it says. God's word is like seed. It's filled with potential. Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are life." And an amazing thing happens when you study the scriptures. Your mind illuminates. Your heart resonates. The truth comes to life in you. The Bible is more than a doctrinal guidebook. It creates faith. It produces change. It causes miracles. It heals hurts. It builds character. It transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It builds hope. It releases power. It cleanses minds. It brings things into being and guarantees your future. You can't survive without it. It's essential to your life as food. So, what are we going to do? Because sometimes we read the word and we use God's promises and we get disappointed because things don't happen or materialize when we expect. We heard this morning, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Help one another. Be the encourager to one another. Sometimes all of us need a helping hand along the way. Will you be the helping hand to the Christian and the non-Christian? Will you be the one to look out for others? Will you be the one? Will you be the one? God and one are a majority. Look how many are here. God and one are a majority. Let's be that majority. The statement of this church, Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It sums it all up. It sums up what the Lord wanted me to encourage us in this morning, being single-minded in purpose. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning of encouragement to us to be single-minded in purpose. Lord, to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, forgive us where we've got it wrong, but we thank you. It's a new day. New every morning are your mercies. And we can, Lord, reach out with your hands and feet. We want to be believers who live in the presence. We want to operate from your presence, not just dipping in and out. Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord, we invite you this morning to fill us up to overflowing with your love, with your spirit, that we can be the people of God you want us to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.